Welcome to the Day Luna Human Design Podcast,
where we discuss all things human design and how it can support you in your spiritual journey.
This is not a one-size-fits-all podcast. We are here to inspire awareness about how we are all different and help you answer the questions of who am I? What am I here to do? How am I here to do it?
You can thrive and live the life of your dreams just by having awareness of your true self.
So dive deep with us, get inspired, and start living your life on purpose.
Hello, and welcome back to the Day Luna Human Design Podcast. This is your host, Dana and Shayna, and this is a special episode with our recommended reader community, all about manifestor magic. And we are so grateful to be sharing this episode with you because we absolutely love and adore manifestors. And for whatever reason, we really believe that that type specifically calls to us. We feel this draw to talk about manifestors, to observe them and to honor them. And this conversation that we share today really does that. And there's no better way to learn about being a manifestor than from manifestors themselves. So we're really excited for this conversation.
Yes, we love these two manifestors specifically too. They are incredible women. And honestly, anything a manifestor says, I swear, it's just so, even in readings, every reading that we do for a manifestor, I'm like, thank you for initiating my whole entire next month. And they didn't even mean to say something. Like, they have no idea what they said. And that's the magic that manifestors hold. Manifestors are so powerful. And the tendency as a manifestor is to not even see that or notice that at all, is to feel like, am I impacting the world? Do people actually notice and care about what I'm doing? And are they that impacted by my words? Because you don't see it as much as they feel it, because you're not meant to. You are meant to be in your aura, be connected with your urges and connected with those sparks and sharing those things out in the world. And a liberated manifestor that is informing and sharing their internal world vulnerably is one of the most powerful things in the world, and one of the biggest gifts to every single person in your life. So if you're listening and you're a manifestor, get ready to just be loved the fuck up, because we love manifestors. I honestly feel like maybe I'm going to have a manifestor child, whether that's my daughter that I'm having right now or another child in the future. But I just have this affinity with manifestors that is just so special. I love being around them, and all of the bad, bad rep that I think some spaces in the human design community can give to manifestors. It's like, I do not subscribe to that. I am all about uplifting our manifestors, because that will uplift the world, because it rallies that energy and can make so much positive change on this planet.
Yeah, I feel the same way, honestly. And I've talked about this a lot on the podcast before, but my dad was a manifestor, and I didn't actually know that until after he passed away. But he is the most manifestory manifester of all time. And, you know, my love for him, and also witnessing just, he was just such a powerful presence in a very different way than I think most people are. And it was hard to explain, because it was energetic. Like, his energetic presence was this manifestor energy that was so strong and so felt, and all, and honestly very misunderstood by a lot of people. And that's something that I really saw in my dad, was him being just so kind-hearted, so full of love, like ride or die for people, but being really misunderstood and having a lot of stuff placed upon him or pushed upon him, having a lot of judgments that people just firmly held, kind of for no reason sometimes. And then he felt angry about that, about having that misunderstanding there, about people pushing onto him these judgments that weren't fair or true, and then oftentimes responded out of anger. And there was like a kind of an unconscious loop. And so I think for me, witnessing that in my dad and having so much love for him, and also him passing away and being on the other side, now I feel so deeply connected to him on a better level than ever before when he was alive in a physical body. I just feel like that kind of is part of my inner fire for manifestors. And what you were saying, Shayna, about like it benefits us all, because if we think about this initiating energy that manifestors bring into the world, you know, we all have our different role that we're here to play. And that goes so much more beyond our energy type. Like we have such specific energies and roles that we're here to give to the world. But our aura type, our energy type, is a huge part of that puzzle piece. Like it's a very big defining factor. And if we're just looking at our type, we know that anyone who's a manifestor, they play this role of initiating energy. They're the start of the cycle. And anyone who's a generator and a manifesting generator, they're here to take that initiated energy and they're here to build it into form and expand upon it. And then we have projectors who have this energetic role of tweaking and guiding those who are using their energy. And then we have reflectors sort of ending that cycle, gauging how it's all going overall, gauging the overall health and authenticity of that, being the great discerners. And then we start that cycle back again. And it is this wheel or this loop that we are all interconnected. And of course, beyond that, like I was saying, there's much more specific things that we're each here to do. But if we look at that cycle, it all starts with the initiated energy that comes through manifestors. And we all, in so many ways, play off of that initiating energy that comes through them. And so for the manifestors in our life, they have to be brave in order to be okay initiating new energy. They have to be courageous. They have to be self-validated. And that takes awareness, acceptance, and self-love. And so it benefits us all to understand the manifestors in our life so that we can just be a supporting role in them learning how to understand themselves instead of being, projecting onto them because we're afraid or don't understand the way their energy works.
Yes. And it's so interesting, you know, Ra Uruhu was a manifester and he initiated literally all of us here talking about human design, listening about human design, diving into this human design world, right? He initiated this all coming into our reality right now. And his role wasn't to build everything and guide everything and control everything and even necessarily teach everything that there is. His role was to share and initiate human design into the world. And looking at, you know, him just even as a role model within human design, it's just so fascinating to see how during his time he shared human design, like initiated the shit out of everyone. And then a lot of generators and mansions at that time came on board and helped build these structures and things around it. There's so much energy being rallied. And then we've seen more recently, a lot of projectors come into this space to really guide the energy use of people within the space and really tweak things and make things even better and really give their gifts into that space. And so it's just really interesting to see how it all plays out, but seeing your role as a manifester, that nobody is going to liberate you for you. Nobody is going to be able to initiate the world for you, initiate your world for you. No guru is going to come into your life and, you know, make everything, all your relationships and everything feel amazing. You have to do that for yourself. And it starts every single time by opening your mouth and informing and seeing that magic wand really break down those barriers and rally that energy to come in and support you in ways that you didn't even know that you needed support, in ways that your mind could not figure out the solution to if you wanted to. It really brings in this magic of synchronicities and divine timing and support that you could not have manufactured on your own. So when it comes to releasing our mind and coming into our body and being tapped in with the divine synchronicities and the sacredness of our own geometry of what we're here to play in this massive program that we're all in here on Earth, as a manifestor, it's always about your voice and sharing your voice and being vulnerable. The vulnerability piece with releasing the fear of being misunderstood or even just having the acceptance of I'm going to be vulnerable and I might be misunderstood. And being okay with being misunderstood, the peace that that is, like really, what does peace even mean? Like letting go of those, that fear and that judgment, and really just letting yourself be vulnerable and sharing from this really authentic, true, honest, and real place for you, that's always going to break down those barriers and set yourself free and rally the energy in your life for yourself. And of course, you know, you can learn from other people. Absolutely. You can be impacted by and be initiated even by other people. You can absolutely have incredible connections in your life that are propelling you forward. It's just knowing that you are the one that has to put yourself out there by opening your mouth. And it's a never ending cycle. It's not like you're going to have said everything and now you're good and you don't have to inform anymore ever again. It's like every single day is a new opportunity to rally energy around you to come and support you in ways that you could never try to manufacture. So it's pretty amazing. I'm like in awe of all manifestors, but we just had a reading with a manifestor client today, this morning, and she was saying that, you know, in her journey with her partner and going through a breakup and things like that, feeling, being told that her energy sometimes can feel like it's too big or that it's taking up too much space and there's no space for the other person in the relationship, and that it feels like it's, what was the word that she used, Dana?
I can't remember, but it was something like being all-encompassing or engulfing. Yeah. Like her energy engulfs the entire space. And it's the only energy that there's space for.
Yeah. And she was really asking, you know, how does she work with that? And why would that happen? And she was really wanting to take accountability for, you know, why, you know, did she make her partner feel that way? And it's really interesting with manifestors that when other people do not understand what's going on in your inner world, even if you're people pleasing, even if you're walking on eggshells and you're being really kind around them, but they don't really understand what you're thinking or what you're feeling because you're not sharing vulnerably because maybe you're not wanting to hurt their feelings or break their heart or be misunderstood. When you're kind of just appeasing people with that people pleasing kind of energy, people start, they go into this place of trying to figure you out where they make you the main character in their life. And they are obsessing over what are they thinking? What are they wanting to do next? How are they really feeling? Well, they must be feeling this and they must be doing that. And they are the ones who then are projecting onto you that you are, your energy is taking up so much space that there's no room for them because internally they are literally making you the main character in their life. And you're just like trying to eat your dinner. You're just trying to, you know, chill. And you're like, I'm not even doing anything. How am I taking up so much space? And it's because internally they are using all the tools at their disposal to try to break into your aura and figure you out. And there's, right, there's two people involved there. One is somebody making you their main character. But also for you, realizing that the only remedy to that is going to be honestly, vulnerably informing and letting them know, this is how I feel. This is where I'm at. This is what's confusing for me. I'm not actually wanting to inform right now. It has nothing to do with you. Sharing from a place of just truth, that then allows them to be like, oh, okay, great. And now there's room enough for everyone in the room. They feel included into your world and they can go back to worrying about their own shit in their own life. So it's so fascinating because obviously I've been on the side of being around a manifestor that I'm trying to figure out and I have no idea what they're thinking. And then I'm projecting onto them that they're upset at me or that they're, you know, whatever it is. And they couldn't be further from the truth. And then they're annoyed that I'm doing that because they're just trying to be in peace and do their own thing. And it creates this friction that goes back and forth. And it feels like it takes up all the space in the whole room that I can barely even breathe. And I'm doing that. But also I'm like, just inform me, bitch. Like, I just want to know. But my projector ass needs to wait for the invitation, right? There's so many dynamics.
The dynamics continue. Yeah. And I wanted to say that in that circumstance where someone has put you on this pedestal and they're obsessing over your energy and they're trying to figure you out, that doesn't feel good as a manifestor, right? So then for you to inform, to solve that energetic dynamic is high road AF. And I just wanted to say that you informing from that space is taking the high road AF and being honest, being authentic, but being mindful of the words you're using, being impeccable with the way that you're expressing yourself and not expressing from anger or from heat. Like even saying like, I'm feeling very angry and I don't feel like I'm able to express myself clearly. Like that's amazing and beautiful and informing. But I just wanted to give that credit. Like it feels when we're in that place, like, why do I need to take the high road now to solve this? But through informing, you do. And at the end of the day, that creates so much more ease and compassion and just collective harmony. So I'd like to just offer up that piece of insight. It's like when you are informing, giving yourself accolades, I am doing my part. I am taking the high road. And you can feel really good about doing that. Even if you feel like your informing was messy and not perfect and you don't know what to say, just the fact that you're wanting to inform at all makes you a spiritual warrior in that space, in that moment.
Yes, absolutely. So pat yourself on the back if you're a manifestor listing, just for your journey alone and the fact that you're here.
Yeah.
You know, taking in information to see yourself deeper and to be somebody who is taking the high road, but also be somebody who is changing the world literally one conversation at a time. Whether that's at the grocery store or whether that is a, you know, a huge platform where you're sharing your voice, it really doesn't matter. You are changing the world every time you open your mouth. And while that can be scary, it also can be the most amazing and magic wand liberated shit on the planet. And we are all lucky and honored to get to witness that magic and benefit from that magic. And know that, yes, we all have our just equally as important roles to play, but your role is so internal and then becomes external. And that feels so vulnerable, but it is the magic sauce. So we love you. And we love these manifestors that are sharing on this podcast today as well. We have linked everything below in the show notes for you to be able to get readings from them, be initiated by them. Getting a reading from a manifestor feels so like such a gift because it can spark a whole slew of new chapters in your life. So I encourage you to check out their offerings. We are obsessed with them and we hope that you love this episode.
All right. And our next guest is Amy Douglas. She is a 3-5 emotional manifestor, and she might sound familiar to you all because you've definitely heard her voice on our podcast because we have shared her podcast, Love Human Be Spirit, along with her co-host, who will also be in here because she's connected to our recommended readers, Monique. So we're so grateful to meet with Amy. We just love her so much. Honestly, feels like a soul sister, kindred spirit. So I'm just grateful that we get to hang out on this podcast right now and get to chat with you. But Amy, how are you doing? Thank you for being here.
I'm just so excited to be with you ladies again. I love my time with you. So thank you for inviting me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yes. Every time I feel like it's such a blessing and I see your face light up on the Zoom screen, I'm like, oh, bathed in your energy. So I love it. And if you could start off with just introducing to our audience a bit about your human design offerings, what it is that you kind of share, what angle you're coming from, all of that.
So I have three offerings for someone to kind of learn specifics about their design. I do a mini reading that's an audio file. I always say it's about 20, 25 minutes, but I can never shut up. So it's usually longer than that. And and it's the like the most prominent stuff I see in their design. And it's just like me just, you know, spitting it out, regurgitating as much as I can. And again, that's delivered in an audio file. And then I have a full reading, but it's a recorded reading. So there's no interaction between you and I. And I give all the resources. So I create about a 20-page document and I have a lot of links to help the person further their understanding of what I share in that recorded Zoom file. I share my screen during it. So you'll see all the resources and that's included in the email. And then I have the full live interactive reading. So I give everybody an option. Do they just want to hear it? Do they just want to see it and have resources with it? Or do they want the opportunity to have that interaction? So I offer all those. And then in addition to that, I offer, if you want that live reading, then I can also support you with some coaching stuff to help you really integrate what you've learned into your life. And you'll see all of that in my offerings on my website.
Wow. I love that so much. And I love how, I love the setup. I love how unique that is and so helpful because not everybody's schedules can align at the right time. And I love that it's just, you can get an audio file or you can get the booklet and the full reading. And there's just so many different ways to dive in. So I love that. And I wanted to know, as a manifester, how was it when you first heard about your design? How did that feel? How did that change your life? Like, what was the main thing that hit you finding out that you are a manifester?
Acceptance. You guys, it was you guys that shared with me in the podcast episode about manifestors that I listened to. And I listened to everything on a faster speed, everything in my life. And I'm like, if you send me something on Instagram, you know, there's a good chance I'm not going to make my way through it because Instagram doesn't let me put it on a faster speed, right? Like, and so, but yours, I slowed down and I listened to again and again. And I just remembered the tears, and they were tears of almost grief of the life that I'd led before I let myself know this is my truth. And so much permission to be exactly what I had always felt. But society had told me it was wrong.
Wow. I got goosebumps on my legs when I heard you say that feeling of grief for all of the life that you had led before being a manifestor. I think out of all of the types, obviously, and when we get into the specifics, there's really big things that can hit you like a ton of bricks. But I think knowing that you're a manifestor would have to be maybe in my top five most impactful things of all of human design, right? Just because it's so powerful. It is such a special path to have chosen in this lifetime. And the you know, being a child, being raised as a manifestor. Do you have any other manifestors in your family of origin, like with your parents or anything like that?
I just found out that my oldest sister is a splenic manifestor because I didn't know her time. I didn't know her. I had a suspicion she was an ego manifestor. Now she does have a defined heart. So she, you know, she's got 2145. So she's really like a ego splenic manifestor, you know, the way her circuitry is. But yeah, so that was pretty telling for me because she was probably the most prominent telling me what to do person in my life, you know?
Wow.
And so that was a lot of my, a lot of my conditioning. I love her, but that was a lot of my conditioning. Don't be like this. Don't act like that. Don't say that, you know, quiet down, be small, you know, like a lot of those things.
Yeah.
Because that's what she was conditioned. And so then she just perpetuated it. Right.
Yeah. So what aspects of your life changed when you found out that you were a manifestor and had this like aha, but also grief moment of like just deeper awareness and understanding of yourself?
Everything. I mean, I can't even put my finger on one thing, how I related to myself, how I related to others, because then you go through that fire hosing of information. Like I have to know everything. So I'm just, and by the way, people, that's not the way to do it. You know, I'm a three. So that's the way I'm letting you know. And then the five is telling you there's a better way. Right. Cause I really needed to slow down, but it was understanding my dynamic. I had already left my corporate life. And so I was already on that path of owning who I was and existing the way I desired. So it kind of just helped me pave the way of saying, I'm on the right path. I'm on the right path. This is all okay. The way that I used to do things, it's okay that I've let that have its own end, like the death, so that I could rebirth into what I really felt and meant and was called to be doing in my life.
Yeah. And so fascinating, like specifically thinking about a manifestor in this kind of like 9-to-5 corporate America structure, the big discrepancies, obviously, first of all, is that as a manifestor, you need this radical freedom to do whatever the hell you want, to do it your way, to say what you want, to do it when you want, to not do it when you want. And the 9-to-5 is all about that structure. And like the rules come from the top down and like there's no wiggle room there. And then also just the time frame of like needing to be somewhere 9-to-5. I mean, honestly, I can't wait for like only 15 years in the future where that sounds ridiculous to anyone, because it is completely crumbling right now. But as a manifestor, you are directly challenging those social norms of needing to be somewhere in a linear way and locked in and not having that flexibility, and also needing to follow the rules from the top down instead of forging your own path and creating your own rules. So I'm curious, like, when you were in corporate America, did you find yourself always trying to create more freedom for yourself and always trying to like innovate and push the envelope? And how do people respond to that? Did they receive that well, or did they feel like, you know, do what I tell you? Like, what was your experience there as a manifestor before knowing that in that corporate setting?
So the first time I feel like I really challenged it was I was in a credit training program right out of college, and I graduated from college early. You know, my left arrows, I got to define route, you know, got to be busy, got to do the things, got to get to where I want to get. And it was shared with us that it would be a 24-month credit training program. And at 16 months, I literally said, I have to get the fuck out or I will die. Like, I've learned everything that I can learn. Let me do my thing. I've got this. And the seas parted and I got the portfolio and, you know, I just went on my path. Then fast forward a couple of years, I had my first daughter when I was 25, which was in 1998. Nobody worked from home in 1998.
Yeah.
And the day that I was slated to go back to work after I'd been off for 3 months, I went in, I quit my job. I was the breadwinner, by the way.
Wow. So, like,
and didn't even think to call my husband because I knew he would be supportive. Ex-husband, by the way. I knew he would be supportive. And then I just went in pursuit of a role that would empower me to only go into the office 2 days a week. And I literally just started creating it. I said, all right, well, I need to be able to be set up at home. And then, like I said, this is 25 years ago. And so I just started creating, and I would, if I started a new job, I would say my IQ goes down by being in the office. I'm best supported whenever I can be in my own path. And I would always say, I may ask for forgiveness, but I sure as shit will never ask for permission. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just said what I felt and what I believed. And then I kind of would just leave the room. So very manifestor-like in my corporate
Informing.
Life. I really did. I operated very manifestor-like in my corporate life. Where I didn't is in my personal life. I still struggle there. Not going to lie. A lot of conditioning there. But in that business corporate, but you know, I was kept, as the years went on, I kept being told I had to do more with less support. And that's when it was like, I am not interested in doing the things that are outside of my zone of genius. And if when you put more of that on me, it's going to ask more time of me. And that feels like less flexibility and peace and freedom. So I'm out.
Yeah. Wow. I love hearing about just your life pre-human design. And then, but seeing how you are operating still as your energy in certain areas. And then of course there's areas where it's, where there is so much conditioning, right? And I wanted to ask, you know, what, in your opinion, is your biggest takeaway from human design? Like, what do you think is the most powerful thing? And have you seen evidence of that in your life firsthand? Or what have been your observations there?
So without a shadow of a doubt, it was first acceptance of myself, deep, beautiful, loving acceptance of myself, which then expanded as I was learning more about others. The deep, beautiful power, acceptance, and compassion for others, which then breeds this releasing of not enoughness. Like, I'm writing a book called The Painstaking Truth of Not Enoughness. And when you learn more about yourself and your design, and when you can adopt the belief that we chose this design, I chose this for myself. So there's no victimhood. And why would I choose anything that would make me feel not enough? And I mean, we know this, we don't feel anything without our own permission, right? And so what I think design offers anyone is with themselves, in their relationships, with business, with any way, and with others around us. We're always going to have others around us if that's what we choose. It's just this way of seeing things so much differently, which releases a lot of judgment and invites a lot more deep acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is like, I mean, we say this all day long, like even to ourselves, like it's just the most liberating system that we've ever come across. And I know that you have kids and a grandbaby. How have you seen it impact their lives with, I mean, obviously you're teaching them so much about their designs and everything there, but how has that been?
I mean, you guys, like, we don't have enough time, but that has changed so much. Like, leaving my corporate life was such a big thing of being more present for my children. You know, I did not realize how I might have been physically there, but never really there, you know? And so now helping them understand themselves in their relationships, because my daughter is married with a baby and my son has had the same girlfriend for 4 years, both 6'2 emotional manifestors. Both of my children chose someone with the same auric type, like score, right? Wow. Like they're going to understand each other. And then having this beautiful grandbaby, he's going to be 9 months old, who I get to talk to my daughter and her husband about all the elements of his beautiful design all the time, you know? And so we have this language, we understand each other, you know, I've done pentas for all of us so that we understand each of the roles that we play. And I just can't tell you enough how, I don't know, it brought us together in a way that's so different than just the historical way of relating in family, you know, but just like being able to show your kiddos things. I've done a lot of apologizing because I wanted to, right? I see where I raised them through my own unresolved trauma, and I don't want that to continue on so we can break that cycle, you know?
Wow. And
just teaching them to honor their truth.
It's so beautiful to witness you with your family. I mean, just because we know you personally, so we get to hear kind of the stories and see the pictures behind the scenes and all of that. But what you're saying of like acceptance, right? That's such a big and profound word that we could have a million conversations on what it really means and how much it can really change everything in our entire existence, how much just acceptance alone, because acceptance is very high form of love. And that type of being accepted and experiencing that type of unconditional love can heal the world. It can elevate anyone's consciousness and make such a powerful shift. And when we talk about the family unit, I think the old paradigm version of love that we knew for our family unit was like doing things for you and creating those bargains, like that tribal community kind of thing of like, I'm paying the bills and I'm putting food on the table and like, that's how I love you. And yeah, those things can definitely be love and do often come from love. But something that we've been missing for so long in our human history is the true acceptance, the meeting of souls, like that level of understanding. And if I don't like you, I'm not going to give you dinner or I'm not going to provide for you. You know what I mean? So to see these families that are being this beacon of shifting the consciousness of the planet through really experiencing that acceptance and understanding of one another, and to see like it happening at such a young age, like to have a baby come into this world and to know their design and for everyone to just hold space with that level of acceptance, like it's the most beautiful thing that I could possibly witness. So I just really want to thank you for being such a light in our lives and for everyone. I think every time I get to hear your story, it's just so inspiring. So thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing your voice with us today. And tell us a little bit about where people can connect with you and find your offerings or just follow your content in general.
Absolutely. And thank you for inviting me again. So probably the easiest way, I'm not a social media person for the most part, and I'm going to honor that is very real for me with my energy. I can go an entire week, probably a month without getting on anything. So my website is amyadouglas.com. You have the contact form on there that you can get in touch with me, see all of my offerings, talks a little bit about who I am. I am on Instagram and I can give you guys that, but that's just not the place you're probably going to find me. So I would just direct you to my website, and that's how you can reach out to me that way. And that's probably the best way to connect. The other thing I will tell you guys is, understanding and learning my emotionality was huge. And everyone in my family, except for my, son-in-law, has emotional authority, right? And so that has been such a big part of that acceptance, right? It just really, on either way, you know, like learning it for ourselves, but then learning the impact that it has on others is just a showstopper. It's so important to understand that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask you, like, is there anything that you would want to share with our audience when it comes to acceptance or understanding your design or human design or being a manifestor? Is there anything that comes to mind as just like a last thing that you want to share right now in this moment?
So I just don't want anybody learning things and then thinking that it is in any way limiting. I felt that way at first with my emotional waves, you know, and I remember very clearly talking to Dana in Costa Rica. Because I was like, fuck this. I don't want these, you know? And so that was like that victimhood, right? Which isn't true. I chose them. And now I see the gift that they offer, not only myself and others. And so we talk a lot in my family. I talk a lot, you know, 50% of the population has this wave. And then the other 50% is being impacted by those who have the waves. So the conversation is important. And it has another level of understanding, compassion, and acceptance that can't be missed anytime that you're having a conversation with anyone. Mm. So it's just so important.
And when you're talking about bringing human design and alignment into your personal relationships, I cannot imagine navigating a marriage, for example, for as long as I have without knowing my emotional wave. Like before I knew about my emotional wave, I was a hot mess in romantic relationship. That was really, you know, because of the wave I have, that was really the place where I projected it and made so much confusion and so much chaos and so much like back and forth and up and down and like, who am I? Who are we? And so knowing about your wave, I mean, but for everyone, because exactly like you're saying, even if you don't have an emotional wave, you're constantly dealing with them all the time, or even with the transit. So it's like knowing that is so, I think a lot about in kindergartens in the future. I'm like, we don't even need to know your type as much. We need to know if you're an emotional or non-emotional. So almost like that would come first. And like later when you're older, we'll tell you about your type. But just knowing in the beginning how to navigate those emotions, I think it's so life-changing.
It has so much impact on your not self.
Yes, so much, so much.
Well, thank you so much, Amy. We love you. We can talk to you forever. And I'm really excited for everyone listening to just connect with your offerings because I think they're amazing. You can also find Amy listed on our website, dailunalife.com, with the recommended readers, and you can read a bit about her bio and watch her video. You can also see her duo readings with Monique that they do together. So there's just so many different ways you can dive in with Amy. And we are just so grateful that you've joined us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies. You're wonderful. I'm so happy to have been here.
For everyone listening who has their own human design business or wants to start one, we want to share with you one of our most favorite human design resources that has been so empowering and such a beautiful addition to our website.
Yes, it's called Body Graph Chart. And this technology that they've created allows you to generate and design your own human design charts. And it has the most advanced information like PHS, your diet, your mindset. You really can customize it so that way your clients can receive all of the information available on their human design chart. And you can change the colors, you can change the fonts, you can also add it on there so that way they can create automatically PDFs for you that explain all of the information for your clients as they are creating their charts and downloading that information. So it really is like sky's the limit with this company. And we have been working with them for a few years now, and they're constantly adding new features. They really are at the cutting edge of human design technology and wanting to just expand in this space. And it's really cool because when we first started human design, there weren't that many resources out there technology-wise, you know, online to generate this information. And every single year, more and more information is getting out there. And that's because human design really is expanding and growing.
Yes. And we're honestly so excited to be partnering with Body Graph Chart Software because we're just such a big fan. And so many of the individuals in our community have reached out to us personally and asked us, where can I create a software like this that can generate charts? So we're really excited to be able to share this code with you. You can get 50% off of your first 12 months with our code below. So you can find that in the show links.
Yes, it's Day Luna, and we are so excited for this journey that you're going to be on with this because it honestly is such a great investment into your business. It brings in so many more people because it empowers everyone to get this information right at their fingertips on your site. So it's super easy, user-friendly, and we know you're going to love it. And we're excited to finally be able to share it with all of you here.
All right. So our next guest that we're having on is Mona Wiggins. She's a 3-5 emotional manifester. And if her name sounds familiar, it's because you have met her before on the podcast. She came on to do an episode, episode 105 about embracing your cycle, divine feminine wisdom. And she is a fertility educator along with a human design reader in this community. So we're so excited to be able to connect with Mona. She feels like a soul sister manifester to us. So thank you so much for being here, Dr. Mona Wiggins. And if you could just kind of introduce yourself to our audience as far as your human design offerings. Tell us a little bit about what you have going on as a human design reader in tandem with all of the other things that you share.
Yeah, it feels so good to be back and just to see your beautiful faces again. So thanks for having me. So as far as human design offerings, I offer human design readings. So those are one-on-one that I do with people, and then also do readings for couples or for parents, depending on how that looks. And I also weave human design into my larger offerings as far as fertility awareness, cycle syncing. And really, I'm a doctor of nursing practice by training and fertility awareness educator. So to me, as we're looking at our energetics, whether we're talking about health or our cycles, our hormones, understanding our human design and understanding our energies as a soul plays such a big role in that. So my favorite thing to do is to really integrate all of those pieces together as we're like looking at the person as a whole instead of just pieces of us, which is more traditionally what I feel like we're taught and like to do in a Western setting.
Yes, it's so refreshing and so exciting to even just connect and hear that these worlds are coming together, because it's so needed. It's so needed. I've personally been going to so many doctors lately, and it's just like they cover one half of like a half of something. And it's just that like, okay, but what about the energetics? Okay, but what about my emotions? Okay, but what about like my microbiome and my trauma and that I'm storing in my gut? Like there's just so much intertwined. So I love more than anything that you're bringing human design in to your practice. It's so inspiring and it's just so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it so much. Like you said, that's like so much the approach. And like I was initially trained very Western and practiced that way for a long time, but we just miss out on so much, and so much is dismissed. And it's like, oh, we'll talk to this provider about this and this provider about this. And so if we can actually honor the full picture, all of the things that you're mentioning, and be able to like take that step back and be like, oh, wait, like, where is the whole picture? Like everything's connected in circles. And when we try to pretend like it's not, we're just never going to get to where we're trying to go if we're like looking towards that holistic body, soul evolution. Like we just can't get there without looking at all of the pieces. So it feels so fun too, to just integrate human design. I started doing that in the last year after I did the reader training, maybe a little more, but it feels so fun to just, you know, especially when we're talking a lot about fertility and womb health and healing emotion, just all of that stuff on the whole, like always I'll be like, or energy, whatever, like wondering in the back of my head, if I don't already know people's design, like, ooh, I wonder what their design is as we're talking about things.
Yes, so true. I believe that there is not a single field that wouldn't be supported by understanding someone's human design, just because it's like that next level of really understanding someone and making sure that you're recognizing them for who they are as a unique individual, instead of bringing that one size fits all energy even into these other things. You know, like if you're in childcare, I'm like, wouldn't it be so helpful to just know if this child is an emotional being or non-emotional being? If you're in anything, any field that you're doing, I just feel like it's so supportive and beautiful. And even just knowing like, you know, does this person have a defined sacral or not? Is this person, what is their profile? What's the style that they learn? How do I communicate this? I mean, there's just so much support that it can and give people to be seen on that level, no matter what it is that you're teaching. I love it. And you are a manifester. So you're here to innovate your field. You're here to change it up. You're here to bring in that fresh energy. And I'm curious to ask you, how did you feel when you discovered for the first time that you are a manifester? Like what light bulbs went off in your brain and how did it change your life?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I mean, I follow Holly Marie that does like the manifester community. And I think, you know, it seems like there's a large portion of manifestors that hear they're manifestors and they're like, hate that idea. And I feel like for me, when I learned, I was like, oh my God, totally. Like it felt so freeing. I think the first time I learned, I had like pulled up my chart, I think maybe through following you know, To Be Magnetic, Lacey Phillips talked about it a lot. And I think I pulled up my chart and then listened to the Manifestor podcast that you guys did. And I was like, oh my God, like, that's me. Like everything just felt, it felt like a relief. Like I was like, oh, like there's a reason I feel the way I do around other people, that I feel like, even though, you know, I have a pretty big family, but one sister who's a year and a half older than me, and we're very close, and we had all the same friends, but it was like, my experience felt so different when I would meet new people or be around new people, or just like in general, than I felt like I would see from her. And I felt like for me, finding out I was a manifestor, I was like, oh my God, like this, it makes so much sense. And it's not that people don't like me, which is what I used to feel a lot. Like, why don't people like me? Like, I'm like nice and I'm fairly friendly. Like, I think I, you know, have a little bit, I just always thought I was introverted, which I think there's portions of that, but it just helped me make more sense of how I felt around other people and like why my energy felt different. Like I, in general, would say I have like less energy than the average human. And so I think so many pieces of it made sense. And I always, from the time I was little, like I was literally talking to my mom yesterday and she was like, you were always like, wanted to do your own thing and go about it your own way and not be touched, not be told what to do, not be like looked at if you didn't want to be looked at. And I totally felt that. And it just, so it felt like freeing, honestly, to me, where I was like, oh my God, this. And then I couldn't get enough of it because I was like, okay, well then it just is to me what human design is. It's like that invitation to see and accept yourself for who you are and who you're like who my soul chose to come here to be. Mm-hmm. And the more I have been able to lean into that and to be like, oh, this is part of what I chose. And when I lean into and invite in and see what I chose, that just helps me find more ease in my journey.
Yes. Mm. It's so beautiful to hear your experience. And your sister is a generator. Is that right? So yeah, you guys are polar opposite, like the way that your aura works, the way that your aura feels, it's like literally polar opposite, with generators being this like open, enveloping, welcoming, ride in, wrapping your arms right around people, and manifestors having this, you know, closed aura, this shell that is protecting. So like understanding the difference between that. And it's, I think it's always so interesting, even looking at your family dynamics, like looking at yourself as a child, like you were talking about, but the other people in your family that you were comparing yourself to, just because their experience. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. So like your soul not only came in as a manifestor to experience those lessons and to be that role energetically, but also your soul chose to come in this family full of generators where you're like the black sheep, if you will. And why did your soul choose that? And what, you know, beautiful qualities does that bring into your life that then you get to share with other people? And yeah, it's so mm-hmm. funny. I love hearing what manifestors experience internally, because I do think it's so different than how other people experience you. You know, I think that manifestors just have this power when you meet them. Like for sure, I think it could be you love them or hate them. And that depends on whether like you're ready, whether you're ready to be initiated by them or not, whether you're scared of that or feeling insecure. But for me, like when I first met you, I instantly love her. Like your energy is just so powerful. And, you know, but it's interesting to hear that internal perspective. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting experience to have, because I always remember thinking that, just like, or feeling that from people, like I'll meet people and I can immediately tell if they're like about me or not. And it's mm-hmm. almost like I can feel other people's like aura try and like pull away, or like yeah. I feel mine pushing against theirs. And it is a very, on my side, a very polarizing experience of like people tend to love me or hate me. There doesn't tend to be, I won't say hate, that feels like a strong word.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like not want to be about me. Yeah. But, right? It's, there's this very intense difference. And I feel like for me, human design has really helped me to be like, okay, like it's not about me, it's about them. And like, you know, that is like, they're not my people, not right now, maybe mm-hmm. not ever. And that's like totally fine. And like, we don't all have to be like in that deep connection together.
Totally. And the manifestors, like the people who are about you, right? It's just, you have so much power to initiate them. It's amazing. I mean, when you think about like zooming out on an audience or your clients or your patients or whatever, like getting a service of any kind done, like as a non-manifester, getting a service of any kind done by a manifester, it changes your life no matter what. Because the smallest thing that you don't even like try to say initiates like your that person's whole life. So it's really amazing to observe. And then I just love, I love being in a manifester's presence because it feels like such a gift. Like, oh, thank you so much for pushing me along my way. So I wanted to ask you about relationships and your perspective on your relationships in your life, like in this topic of feeling people's auras, but in even a romantic setting or a really personal setting. What is your perspective or your guidance or wisdom in that area when it comes to human design?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's so many things that I've just really learned to love and embrace when it comes to relationships and human design. But I would say there's like a couple things that are coming up for me with you asking that. And one of them is, I think, being a manifester, being a woman manifester, there's energetics that I think have really come up for me that I've had to really embrace, allowing myself to be my biggest, most like authentic self, and to be okay with initiating relationships and to know that like, that is what I'm here to do. I think I grew up in a very Christian conservative family. It was like, the woman is meant to be like seen and not heard, to be the follower, to be the supporter. I feel like my whole life, whether words were used or not, from my dad especially, it was like, you're too much. And so I think for me, like, especially as a manifester, coming into relationship as a woman manifester, like really learning to embrace your voice, to embrace that you are powerful, that you are meant to be powerful, that you're meant to stand up and speak the things you need. And I think, and to understand that like partners, like when you're in relationship, whether it's like friendship or partnership, we like to assume that people know what we need. And I think other people, this is something that I've noticed being a manifestor, other people don't always read me correctly if they're reading me at all, but really learning to really share everything from my thoughts, my feelings, my desires, my intentions, and knowing that that is what helps the relationship, however that looks, whether it's friendship or deep, like intimate partnership, that's what helps it to run smoothly when I can do that. And when I also can share with the other person why that matters, and they can also embrace that side of it. Like to me, from a manifestor perspective, that feels really huge. And I would say like the other thing that I really have noticed, so I'm a emotional manifestor, and then I have like the largest emotional wave, like the channel of transitoriness. So my emotions come in big waves and they're big ups and downs, and getting really attuned to my own emotions and knowing that if I'm in partnership with somebody that is an open emotional person, which I've been in a lot of those, really trying to like flip the lens and be like, oh, I wonder what it's like if I feel my emotions is big and they're an open emotional person, that means they're taking in and amplifying what's going on for me. So also trying to like flip the lens and understand what it is to be in relationship with me. If you are somebody that's an open emotional person, and really just being able to clearly communicate where I'm coming from when I'm moving through my emotional wave as somebody that is emotional feels so helpful in that. And I think, right, like energy types, I would say like those are kind of like the three things coming up for me. Like I don't have consistent energy. And so when I've dated people that are generators, and especially if they also have like defined roots, knowing that like I have to give myself often more permission to allow for my ebbs and flows and energy, because, you know, if I'm with a generator or around a generator or around people that have those defined roots and those pressures to like do and that consistent energy, and I don't give myself permission to check in with my energy, it just is like so, such a disservice to me as a whole, which means it's a disservice to the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so, it's so fascinating to just hear your reflections as a manifester in those dynamics, because it's so different, obviously, than how our projector experiences. And I'm curious, you know, in your relationships and with dating, do you tell them, like inform them, this is my human design and I have an emotional wave and like, let's look up your chart. Like, do you just take the lead and how has that been? Because as a projector, obviously we have to wait for the invitation. So we're like, yeah, this is...
I'm like, oh, hi, I'm like really into this. And like, hi, have you heard of it? I mean, exactly. I try to, I definitely tell everybody about it. I'm very much about it. It feels literally like a core tenet of how, in the same way that like being really attuned to my cycles and tracking my cycles and my fertility, like that is a part of me, like my human design. And I very much feel resonant with it. So honestly, anybody that I've dated for years now, since I learned about human design, I've brought it up to them. And some people are more interested in it than other people, but definitely I always look at other people's charts. And I think if people are open to hearing it, to me, it just is a, not to say that you have to buy into every part of it, but I think if there's something that helps me as a human make more sense of my own experience and you're my partner, why wouldn't you want to at least hear my side of it? Not to say that you have to buy into it for yourself, but I definitely look at it. I look at other people's, and as much as people are open to it, I totally will like inform around like dynamics that are going on and what might show up. And I always follow that by, does that resonate with you? Because I feel like, you know, it's not going to with everybody, and that's okay. But I definitely bring it up and feel like, especially in the last like year and a half, I've really been like, oh, I feel like this is what's going on with like certain aspects, and will like ask people when that's like thoughts coming up for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the most fascinating things about everything you shared is this idea of gender expectations, gender constructs based on our society, the expectations of what a gender role should have in our society, and how manifestors specifically and projectors specifically can really be challenging those gender norms. Like, I think that that's such a important and fascinating conversation, you know, for, you know, we're just so deeply taught that anyone that's in this masculine gender role is someone who needs to be, make the first move and be the one that's assertive. And maybe you're a projector that identifies with this masculine gender energy, and then you're supposed to sit back and receive and let people come to you. And then vice versa, of course, with this manifestor being the person who's here to initiate all of that. If you are a you know, female gender role identifying person, the way that we're changing the gender roles because of human design, I just think is so juicy and beautiful and interesting, and also needs to be seen, you know? So I think we say this all the time, but a manifestor learning from another manifestor is just gold. We're obsessed with manifestors. We love meeting with them. We love teaching them, but also we know that we don't know. And so I just really admire witnessing you walk the walk and be such a beautiful example for other people. It's really inspiring to see.
Yeah. And I just wanted to ask you one last question. If there's anything that you want to say to any other manifestors listening, or any manifestor advice, or anything that you just want to leave with our audience right now before we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think like to anybody, like to me, human design is the opportunity and the invitation to see and love yourself more deeply. And I think all of us on the whole, right, it's like we come in with this like full self-worth, and then like as life happens, sometimes we like miss out on who or why we are. And to me, human design is a tool of many to come back to that. And I think especially as manifestors, there's a lot of, I would say, like, you know, in the manifestor community, people talk about it, about like core wounds or core triggers. And often that is you're too much. And that then, right, it's like, that's where it becomes of like, you know, I think when I had my first reading with you guys, it's like, do you tend to like people pleaser or like lone wolf, like get out of my face? And I think like my invitation and what I would say to manifestors is like really learning to love yourself for your full self, to know you're not meant for everybody all the time. And that's beautiful. And you're still lovable. And all of you gets to be loved, as big as that is, and as unique as that is, and as different as that is. Just really learning to see yourself and to love yourself and to let yourself be whatever that is. And however different that looks, that feels really important to me, to not try and fit into constructs of how you're told you're supposed to be or look or sound or do, and just let yourself be. Like, you chose that protective aura, that like intensity for a reason. So let yourself protect yourself, let yourself see yourself, and let yourself be this big, intense energy that you are without holding any type of like judgment or expectation on what that should look like.
I love that. So beautiful. Well, thank you so much for hopping on here with us and being a part of this community. We love learning from you. And if you could share with our listeners where they can find you, where they can look at your offerings and book with you.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure to talk with you too. So yeah, you can find me mainly, I hang out on Instagram, which is just Medicine with Mona, or my website's medicinewithmona.com.
Amazing. And everyone can also find Mona on our website, daylunalife.com, under the recommended readers. And you can read a bit about her bio and her type and everything there, and even watch a video of some of her offerings and things that she's sharing. So thank you so much for being here with us, Mona. We just love you.
We just love you girls too.
Wow. We love these women. And thank you so much for tuning in and diving into their manifestor wisdom with us. As always, you know where you can find our offerings, at daylunalife.com or on Instagram at dayluna. And if you're wanting to join our community, Your Human Design Besties is a great place to start. Even if you know a lot about human design, we have so many courses in there to help you really integrate your design, to help you understand your design through a deeper, more embodied lens. And we also meet every single month where we get to connect in circle, connect with each other, learn new practices, and really tune into our own energetic housekeeping to make sure that we are honoring ourselves as we go throughout the world, impacting other people. So it's one of our favorite containers that we've ever built, and we love it. So you can check that out on our website, Your Human Design Besties, on daylunalife.com. And if you're wanting to become a human design reader, you can check out our training on our website as well. It is the most extensive and deep dive training. It is incredible. We have so many amazing reviews and so many people that come out of this training. It's one of our greatest joys to see how they're changing the world. And we feel like this is why we're here, is to amplify the wisdom and the voices of the people around us, who there's so much wisdom to share. There is space for everyone here. And our human design container is not a you can't sit with us, we're at the top kind of vibe at all. Our human design container is when you rise, we rise, and when we rise, you rise. It's very symbiotic, and we love celebrating all of the voices that are in our amazing community here of readers. It's amazing. And honestly, in Mexico, we're going to be getting to spend so much time with some of these readers that we've met before at our Costa Rica training, or that we've met virtually on our online training. So I just love this community that we've built. And if you're interested in joining us there, you can learn everything on our website, daylunalife.com. So enjoy your day. We love you. Thank you for initiating the world. And I just feel initiated from this conversation already. So we just hope that today you go out and do whatever the F you want. Like, literally, whatever that is, going for a walk, eating a really good meal, taking a nap, working on a creative project, like asking yourself, what is it that I truly just want? Without any judgment, without anybody's opinions, without any shoulds, what is it that I'm wanting right now in this moment? Go do that and celebrate yourself in that way. We love you. Have a beautiful rest of your day.